Thanks for listening to the Red Bluff Vineyard podcast. Also check out our website, www.redbluffvineyard.church, and find us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. If you want to stay connected more, also download the Red Bluff Vineyard Church app on the Google or Apple stores.
This friend doesn't live in California. Her name is Stacy. We're going to call her Stacy at least, protect her identity. And she grew up in a really complex situation. She actually, I would call it a really extremely dysfunctional family. Her father was extremely distant and passive. And so for most of her life, her father was absent, was not around. And when he was around, he would be in what he would call his man cave and would just spend all of his time there. Her mother would basically lose her temper all the time. Every time something went wrong, her mother would lose her temper, would start screaming at her, and treated her not very well. And in fact, oftentimes said she was a mistake. And so Stacy grew up in that type of environment. For the entire childhood, she would say that she never felt loved. She mostly felt rejected by everybody around her. And because she was physically and emotionally assaulted, she understandably began looking for love in all of the wrong places, as we often hear. So she spent time, searching for happiness through alcohol, through drugs, and then through relationships with men. She had a huge hole in her heart, though, as she tells her story. She spent basically all of her childhood in that type of environment, and then when she went through her 20s, she spent all of her 20s searching for happiness and never finding it. It was just tragedy after tragedy. She basically was in and out of every terrible situation you can imagine, including jail. She spent time living in what she would call crack houses. She was constantly going through abusive and toxic relationships, and it was really, really, really bad. Now, I think intuitively people, I think all human beings actually long to be loved. It's kind of part of what makes us human, is that there's this desire to be loved and to be known. And so she spent her whole entire life trying to find fulfillment, but never actually experiencing it. So I think Stacy, though, is no different than each person out there, because we all want that. When you look at Stacy's life, though, if you don't know her whole story, like if you just know about the certain situation she's in, it's really easy to analyze it and say, oh, you just made such a terrible decision. Why are you doing this? Why did you look for love in that situation? Why did you, start doing those type of things? But when you look at the big picture, it's kind of easy to understand how she ended up in the situation that she ended up in. Because I think from the very beginning, she was failed by her parents. And when she tells the story from her perspective, she never had any teachers or any adults in her life in her childhood. For the first 18 years of her life, she never had any adults that actually saw her as a human being and loved her. That's from her perspective, which is super, super sad. And so that's why she went through so many challenges in life. And I think it's funny how, maybe not funny, that's not the right word, but it's interesting to me how, until we see the big picture, it's super easy to be judgmental about people. Are you with me? Like, it's super easy to see people going through a specific situation and just say, oh man, they're so stupid. Why would they do that? Don't they know that that will never, ever meet all their needs? Are you with me? Like, we do things like that if we're being honest. But when we see the big picture, we can actually see why and understand why certain people go down trails. They go down certain avenues trying to find their happiness. And so it's easy to judge people and to condemn them, except for when you actually either walk a mile in their shoes or you start to hear their whole story and you have less of a limited perspective, but you see the big picture, the panoramic view, so to speak, of their life. And so this summer, we've been going through the book of Ephesians. We've spent time every Sunday just talking about a section of scripture and working our way from chapter 1 going to the end of the book, and we're working through that. In fact, if you're with us for the first time this morning, we have all of our sermons online on our podcast. You can go to our website, or you can just search Apple or Google and look for Red Bluff Vineyard, and you can catch up on our sermon series. But we've been studying the book of Ephesians, and we've been seeing how Paul is really like in love with the gospel. He's in love with the grace of God, the love of Jesus, and he's talking about that. So we talked about in chapter 1, for instance, Paul Paul spends a lot of time in the first 14 verses. He does this big run-on sentence just extolling and magnifying God and the greatness of God and his grace, his mercy, his intention for loving human beings. And then we've also seen that Paul keeps going back and forth between praising God, writing prayers, and then talking about really practical things having to do with what it means to follow Jesus and to apply it into our lives. And it's been really, really fun. And this week, we've come to the passage of scripture that for me, I have spent probably more time in, more time praying, more time studying, and more time just hanging out because it's such a formative passage of scripture for my life, which I'll share about in a few minutes here. But what I'd love to do is we're going to look at Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. And so I'm going to read that for us this morning, and then we'll pray, and then we'll jump into the message. But the Apostle Paul writes this. He says, "When I think of all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations forever and ever. Amen." And Heavenly Father, we do just continue that prayer. Currently, in our context, we ask that your Holy Spirit would help us this morning to encounter your presence and to experience your love afresh, whether it's the first time or the thousandth time, that today we would be transformed and marked by your grace, your mercy, your truth, and your love. And so we invite you, Holy Spirit, to be active in this time, that you, God, would help us to know these things and to have these things shape who we are and to shape what we do. And so we ask for you to do those things, and we thank you because we anticipate and expect you to honor your promises. And so we thank you for those things. In the name of Jesus, amen. So this text of scripture, like, really is an important part of my story. In fact, you know, I could say in many ways that I don't think I'd be a pastor today if it weren't for this passage of scripture. And so, you know, just to kind of back up, you know, I grew up in the church. My wife, Dawn, as many of you know, we've grew up in the church. We're in the church our whole lives. You know, from the very beginning of my memories, I can remember being at church. In fact, I remember my mom bringing me to prayer meetings, and I would just fall asleep on the, you know, pew, and then they'd wake me up and drive me home, and it was like constantly around church. And so in many ways, I kind of got burnt out from that, okay? Anybody in the room, like, know what I'm talking about? Did you grow up in church, and you're at church 5 days a week, or is it just me? Who needs therapy? No one else? That's great. All right, thanks. Okay, a couple of you have, right? And so that was like my life. I was just always around. And there's things about church that I fell in love with, and there's some things that I'm still, you know, working through, so to speak. But I remember as a young person, you know, being interested and fascinated by Jesus and the kingdom and learning these stories. And in many ways, I had all this conceptual knowledge about who God was. And I knew that God loved us because when I was in kindergarten or earlier, I learned a Bible verse that said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life." I knew theoretically that God loved people. Like, I knew that. I could answer that question. I could check the boxes. I went on to go to Bible college, and I went on to seminary, and I studied all these things in theoretical ways, and I knew all these things, but I had yet to, in many ways, experience God's love. And so, like, fast forward, Don and I get married, And so we're trying to figure this church thing out because we were living in a new city, and we decided that we're going to go and check some churches out. And so this is actually how I realized that I might be doomed. Like I was like, at this time I started wrestling with like maybe I was going to end up a pastor, because every church we would go to, this happened in three churches in a row, we would check it out. And like when you're looking for a church, you know, like do they have coffee? You know, is the music good? Is the preacher okay? It's just, we were lowballing some things too. We're like, as long as it's got this, right? But we go for the first, you know, couple of weeks, check it out, we like it. And on the third week, for three churches in a row, the pastor would walk up to us and say, hey, I noticed you've been coming for a couple of weeks. I'd love to go out to lunch with you. And we're like, oh, that sounds great. He likes us. This is great, all right? And so we go to lunch, and after sitting with them and sharing our story, three churches in a row, the pastor says, hey, I don't know if you'd be open to this, but what do you think about becoming our youth pastor? And I was like, I'm out. This ain't going to work. And we would not go to that church ever again. Happened three times in a row. And I mean, teenagers are cool. Like now I like teenagers, but at that time when you're 22, that's like the last group of people you want to be with, right? Because you're still like trying to figure out if you're mature enough to do that, first of all, and your wife's telling you you're not. And at least in my case. But anyway, so that happens. And at that time, I was actually I was doing music full time. Like that's actually what my vocation was. So I'm just going to admit it right now. I used to be a rapper, okay? Just take it, all right? Just your pastor was a rapper. I was touring all over. I was an underground hip hop artist. And I started wrestling with, as a 24-year-old guy, 23, 24, I'm like, am I going to be a 40-year-old white rapper? Probably not. It's probably a good idea for me to get a job, you know? So I'm like trying to figure out what I'm going to do. That's what's happening. Okay, so at that stage in life, I'm starting to figure out like, okay, do I want to be involved in church ministry? I've been in church my whole life. There's things about church that drive me crazy. I still love music. I still love, I love touring, all these different things. I'm trying to figure it out. That's when this text of scripture enters into the story. Okay, so what had been happening for me is I had started reading my Bible a lot more. I was really trying to like be a follower of Jesus. And so I started reading this passage of scripture, and I started praying it too, because my mom had given me this big list of all these scriptures that were prayers written by the apostles. And I was just praying them. She said, hey, Luke, if you wanna, you know, like be praying things that God will always answer, pray scripture. Because those things are, God will answer those. I'm like, all right, cool. So I start praying them. I'm praying them every day. And I was praying this passage right here. I was praying that I would experience God's love, that I would know how deep, how wide, how long, and how high his love is. Praying that all the time. And what happened for me is I ended up having this experience with God where I was at a conference, and the music had gotten done, and it was good, and the talking was all done, and I was just sitting there. And as I was sitting there, the only way to describe it was like I was in this room with 3,000 people, and all of a sudden, I felt like it was just me and God, and I had never at that point, until that point, felt like God loved me personally. So, I mean, I'm telling you, I was wrecked. I was crying. I was just totally overwhelmed and undone by this idea that God loved me more than anything I could ever imagine. So this passage of scripture is really important to me because it really helps us understand the thrust of Paul's letter to the Ephesians. In fact, it's in the middle. It's kind of like the central thing that Paul's doing. He's already prayed in chapter 1 that we would have the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Now he prays that we would know the love of Christ. And so after reading this, I hope you can see that in Paul's thinking here, the big picture is centered on a big reality. Paul is saying, hey, if you want to have a panoramic understanding of the kingdom of God, you have to have a big picture, and you have to have an understanding that the big picture is centered on a big reality. And this is the big reality, that every single time that God provides for us, his provision is an expression of his love. So like everything that Paul has listed out, he's talked about the grace, the mercy, the goodness of his kingdom, the fact that he sends his spirit to fill us and empower us and to live with us. All of those provisions for us are because God loves us. Okay, that's what Paul is doing here in this passage of scripture. He's really trying to help his readers understand how important this reality is for us. Here's the way that one of my favorite theologians talks about this passage of scripture. N.T. Wright says this. He says, it is a prayer that the young Christians may discover the heart of what it means to be a Christian. It means knowing God as the all-loving, all-powerful Father. It means putting down roots into that love, or changing the picture, having that love as the rock-solid foundation for every aspect of one's life. So let's go back to my friend Stacy. So again, Stacy has been raised in this absolutely terrible environment. Her parents did not express love her whole entire childhood. She goes on and she just starts to form relationships, hoping that those relationships would meet those relational needs. And every single time she gets into this toxic environment, is treated, abused, just mistreated over and over again. And so what happens in Stacy's life, though, is she's been set up in many ways to not have a very good understanding of who God is, because every authority figure in her life has failed her. Are you with me? And so then this is what happens. She actually goes to the grocery store one day. She's like, I think she was in her early 30s in this part of her story. She goes to the grocery store and she's like, in her mind, she was at a place where she wanted to start getting out of that. She wanted to experience, you know, something to help free her from this cycle of patterns that inhabits that had kept keeping her locked up. So she goes to the grocery store and I think she was at her like rock bottom moment, but she's going to the grocery store to buy a couple things. She's in line and the person in front of her decides to pay for her milk and coffee or whatever she had just to be kind. And so she starts talking to this lady. And this lady says, "Hey, yeah, I just want to help you out." And so they start talking, and then over the course of this short conversation, they decide to meet and get coffee, and they go and have coffee. And slowly over time, in numerous one-on-one conversations, Stacy gets introduced to Jesus. She gets introduced to the incredible love of God. She comes to understand what the gospel is, the good news of the kingdom, that God loved her so much that he didn't want her to stay in that habitual cycle. And she comes to a place where she believes that Jesus died on the cross for her so that she could have peace, which is a huge component, by the way, of the gospel, right? Like, this is what Paul says in Romans chapter 5, verse 8. He says, "But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners," right? Like, love, according to scriptures, where God demonstrates that he does something for our well-being, even though we do not deserve it whatsoever. So she comes and she experiences that, and guess what? God's love completely changes Stacy's life. The whole story, the narrative of her life is absolutely transformed, and it changes course. And this is basically what the Apostle Paul, the author of this passage of Scripture, wants us to grasp, is the bigness of God's love. Like, Paul is wanting us to understand that God's love is so important that he keeps coming back to it. I hope you've seen that. In just the three chapters we've looked at so far, he keeps coming back to that over and over again. In fact, in this passage, he mentions it three times. Okay, he mentions love, or the Greek word agape, three different times. And it appears only three times in this passage, but it actually echoes through the whole entire flow of his point. And here's what I mean by that. Just notice this in his prayer. He prays that our roots would grow down into God's love and keep us strong. So his prayer is that love would help empower and strengthen the church. He prays that we would understand how big, and he uses the words wide, long, high, and deep, that we would know how big God's love is, and that we would experience the love of Christ even though it is too great to fully understand. Paul fleshes this out. So are you with me, like, seeing that for Paul this is a really big thing, right? He wants love. He comes back to love. And so just for a few moments here, I want to talk about this idea of growing in God's love, understanding God's love, and experiencing God's love, because I think it's really fascinating that Paul keeps coming back to this over and over again. And here's why I think this matters. Because, like, for me, my story is, like, I could have told you all day long that God loved us. Anybody with me? Like, you just know it. Theoretically, you know that God loves you, or you've heard it so many different times. But yet, if you haven't experienced it, it's different, right? It's like marriage, right? Like, until you've experienced the bliss of marriage, you don't understand it. And by bliss, you can read into that word, right? I mean, truly, right? It's like, until you're in the context of the struggle of marriage and how it can be really challenging for Dawn, it's I'm just being honest, right? Like, it's easy to talk about it, but when you're in it, it's like many things in life. until you've experienced it, it's hard to maybe conceptualize. And that's very true about God's love. And so that's why Paul is not saying you shouldn't know it or it shouldn't be part of your theological background or training or shouldn't be tucked away in your mind, but it can't stop there. That's why Paul is praying for us to grow in it, to understand it more, even though it's so big and so great, we can't fully comprehend it in this life. And he also prays that we would experience it, because if we have those things happen, it changes us. Paul's a missionary, he's a theologian, he's a pastor. He's not writing ivory tower theology for people that's not applicable. In fact, a lot of what Paul is doing here is absolutely applicable. Here's the deal about God's love, and this is why it's so important, I think, is that God's love directly impacts and shapes our identity. So like who we are, who we are, like the whole of our being, in other words, what we know, how we be, how we exist, and what we do has to be shaped by God's love. Otherwise, it's deficient. That's why Paul's coming here. So like think about a human being like you. One of the reasons why I think this triad is helpful for us to think about how God's love should help us and should impact us and should shape us is because you are not just what you do, in the same way that you are not just what you believe and you are not just who you are. Like all those components make up who we are as a human being created in God's image. So God's love has to impact our minds. We have to know that God loves us, but it also, that knowledge impacts who we are, like my being, the fact that God loves me. When I think about my standing before God, I think of myself first and foremost as a child of God, deeply loved by God. And the reason why I think Paul wants for his readers to understand the bigness of God's love and how immensely big and powerful it is because it's really easy, I think, in this room, for instance, some of you might say, well, hey, you know what? I totally understand how God loves you because you're a pastor. Or I understand how God loves the person sitting next to me because they're like goody two-shoes and they've never done anything wrong. But not me. I have a list of all these terrible things I've done. God could never, ever love me. Paul's answer to that statement is that no. In fact, it's far greater than you could ever imagine. Your list is not big enough. Amen? Your list is not big enough. God's love is so great and so powerful, it overcomes the worst of the worst of the worst. That is God's grace. And so that's why we have to ground ourselves on this reality. And this is why I think as followers of Jesus, Paul would have us come back to God's love on a consistent basis. It's not like we talk about it one Sunday and we get it all worked out and we're like, okay, I'm good, God loves me, and then we just move off from it. Like, you'll notice in Paul's letters, he consistently comes back to the subject of God's love. He keeps coming back to it over and over again. I mean, it's a really powerful thing. And like, in Stacy's story, this is the beauty of it, when she shared this story with me, is that for her, she has this encounter with God, comes to a place where she says, I want to receive that love. But as you can imagine, because of her past, it took a long time to get to the point where she could receive it fully, right? Because she had all these expectations. And what she found was that, you know, her conception of God was that God was going to be a distant, passive, angry God, because that's how her father was. And so it took years for her constantly being prayed for and reminded that that's not who God is. God actually is very patient. He's forgiving. He loves us. He's kind to us. He wants to be in our lives and be present for us. So here's the deal. I don't know what your back. I mean, this room's full of people. You all have different backgrounds. You have different socioeconomic statuses. There's different ethnic groups in this room. Here's what I can tell you. No matter what, God loves you. No matter what. God loves you, and he invites us to enter into his kingdom, to experience that love in a transformative way, because what I have found to be true in my life is that when you experience, encounter God's love, it doesn't leave you the same. It doesn't leave you the same. Like what I found is it helps me live my life in that reality, and then it also helps me want to share that love with people around me, because I know it can change people's lives. So I'd love to just pray for a few minutes here before we dismiss everybody. So if it would be helpful for you to close your eyes, feel free to do that. But I just think that there's a few of you in this room that you are here this morning and maybe you've never experienced God's love for the first time. It's never happened. Like it's just a conceptual thing. Maybe it's been a while since you've been in church, or maybe you've been in church every single Sunday for like 25 years and you know all the right doctrines, but you have never personally encountered God's love. And so I'm going to pray right now for that to happen. And so, Holy Spirit, we thank you for your presence in this room. We thank you that you are always with us, as Scripture teaches us, that you dwell in your people. And so I just pray right now for your presence to be made known to us. I pray for anybody in this room who has yet to experience your love. I pray that today, this morning, this afternoon, there would be a fresh filling of your Spirit. That there would be a freshness that happens this morning. Just pray for you to come right now, Holy Spirit. And just, this is a space that's safe. And so I just want to say, you know, like, your eyes are closed right now. This is between you and God. But if you're here this morning, and I don't care how long you've been coming to church, I don't care if you know all the right things, but if you're here this morning and you say, yeah, I want to experience God's love fresh. I just need to know. Like, I've been going through some challenging things in life right now. My week has been really hectic and it's been all over the map. And I'm here this morning and I could use a fresh outpouring of God's Spirit. I need some encouragement. I need some hope. I'm just going to ask you to be really brave right now and just to stand up right now and say, yeah, I want to experience that. If you're here this morning, you say, yeah, I want a fresh encounter with God. I need to know that I know that I know that he loves me. If that's you in this room, we want to pray for you. And I believe with all of my heart that the church should be a safe space. And if it isn't, we need to address those issues. But we're always going to have a place where you can be vulnerable and authentic. And so if that's you right now, you just want to receive. Saying, yeah, it's important that I would experience your presence, God. And just thank you for your presence right now, Holy Spirit. And as these people are standing right now, Lord, I just thank you for their courage, Lord. It's evidence, I think, of your Spirit at work right now, that you are wanting them to know how much you love them. And so if there's somebody here this morning, Lord, that's never, ever known your love, never, ever made a decision to follow you, that this is their first step of faith, I pray right now, Lord, that you would help them to right now make a decision to follow you, that they would receive the reality that you, Jesus, died on a cross for them, that you've come to restore their relationship. Would you do that right now? And then, Lord, for those in this room right now that are standing there, just say, yeah, I need to be encouraged. I need some hope. I need to be filled up. I need some, I just need something from you, God. I need some grace. I need your love. Would you right now give that as well? Would you give that right now? Would your love right now just fill this room? Just fill every single person right now, that you would just show, Lord, each person in this room how much you love them. In fact, Lord, I pray this prayer that Paul prays. I pray that right now you would give from your glorious, unlimited resources the power for each person in this room to be strengthened by your Spirit. I pray that you would help each person who has made a decision to follow you to know that you, Jesus, are present with them, that you live in them through your Spirit as they trust you. I pray that each person right now, that their roots would grow down into God's love and that they would be kept strong. And that each one of them would have the power to understand how wide, how long, how high, and how deep your love is. That each person right now would experience your love, that they would be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from you. And I thank you for your grace. I thank you that no matter what our story is, no matter what has happened to us or what we have done, Lord, that your love is so great, it transcends our understanding, and that no matter what our past is, Lord, your grace is available, your love is available, that your kingdom invites us and welcomes us in as daughters and as sons. We are treated as firstborns and given every good and perfect gift from above. And so I thank you for your healing. I thank you for your love. And I pray now, Lord, that as we transition from gathering together and worshiping you and experiencing and encountering you and encouraging one another and just being family and being in community, I pray that you would help us as we go out into the world around us to be transformed by your love, to make a difference in people's lives, to see your kingdom come. And I pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Hey, have a great week. I want to encourage you again. We have Wednesday night service at 7 o'clock to 8:15. And we'll see you next Sunday at 11 or at 9 a.m.